Okay, it is always great to have a little catch up as well. It seems to be like a catch up Monday, but it's always good to have him in the fold. You know him well, Rich Schaefer. He is the supervisor of the town of Babylon, does a tremendous job, as well as chairing the Democratic Party in Suffolk County. We welcome him, Mr. Chair, Mr. Supervisor. It is always good to have you.
Good morning, Jay. Catch up Monday. I like that term.
Hey, listen, you and I always, whether it be inclement weather, political season, always a lot of fun. We love having you on. So let's get into a couple of things. Obviously, I wanted to get you on regarding the marijuana stuff, a little change of heart. Listen, I understand it's going to bring in some revenue. I can understand that. Was that a tough way of thinking for you? And, you know, you're in a spot where you know you're going to get some revenue, you know, with the town and everything else from the state. But I'm sure you also have some other reservations. Give me a little bit of a way of the thinking gone about there.
Yeah. So here's my thinking. I spend and this is haven't had a full change of heart yet because there's still a lot to do. Number one, we appreciate what the state does for us, and we certainly appreciate when they pass these very large, dramatic changes in policy and send them down to us and just basically tell us to figure them out. And that's where we're at this point. All of us as town supervisors or village mayors or county executives are now trying to figure out how do we deal with the legalization of marijuana, something that's been discussed for many years. And other states have spent a lot of time figuring out how to implement it. So from my perspective, and why I have the opinions I do is I've spent the last 5 or 6 years working with our Beacon Feminist Center, which is our drug and alcohol counseling program in the town. And I've spent a lot of time mentoring both young men and women on life challenges, as well as getting them on a sober path from alcohol or drug abuse that they've experienced in their life. Some of them tell me that marijuana was where it all started, and I have no reason to doubt them. Some of them also tell me that I'm an idiot for thinking that marijuana is addictive. Now, I've never had the experience with it, tried it a couple times in college, and yes, I did inhale, but I never had an addiction issue, so I have to go based on what I'm being told. Now, when we had our Zoom meeting the other day with all the town supervisors, we had both pro and con on there. And one of the cons of opting out was a group called Normal that had done a lot of work and background information and had actually written the legalization bill or participated in writing it. And they shared with us a lot of information that they sent us, and we're now digesting. We're now all going back to our respective town boards to speak with our council people to see what they want to do, and then we're going to get back together in a couple of weeks to make some decisions. Out of that meeting, I got the strong sense that there wasn't going to be a large-scale opt-out, meaning that towns or villages could, before December 31st, decide to opt out of retail sales or on-premise, in-person smoking lounges. And so if you decide to opt out by December 31st, you're out. You could always opt back in if information comes to you that you want to opt in. But if you don't opt out by December 31st, then you're in permanently. And so that's the question we're all wrestling with right now, as to whether or not we opt out until we figure out how to implement this, or do we just go forward and, you know, implement it as we go. So that's the big question right now.
It's got to be very tricky because, you know, we know how the state has been a depletion of funds. The island has gone through the rigors of it all with this pandemic from an economic sense. And listen, eyes wide open here, no question, as far as the revenue it could bring. But also the ramifications. We know that it has not been good. It's not been good anyway regarding the war on drugs and everything else. Could it be a gateway? It could. I fear for the employers as well, especially in construction, scaffolding laws and everything else, accidents, impairment, law enforcement. Are there devices, breathalyzers out there? Well, you know what? They're in the making. They're not there yet. So I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of concerns especially with here on the island, is as we know, the battles continue. And the fentanyl and everything else and the heroin, Rich, you and I have spoken about this for years. So, you know, there's a lot of back and forth here.
Right. So, and let me just address the revenue. So everybody thinks, oh, okay, we're going to get this revenue. Well, I asked the specific question of the people who were involved in the bill, and I said, does this revenue go into the town's general fund for general fund purposes, or can it be designated for specific purposes? So my take on the revenue is that if the revenue is being generated as a result of a sales tax on cannabis, then that revenue should go specifically toward programs or policies that are going to do something to either deal with addiction and drug issues, deal with education issues, or deal with public safety issues. So in our case, if we do stay in and start getting this revenue, I think it's supposed to be sometime in late 22 or 23, I'm going to ask the town board to specifically designate it for those types of programs and not be a cash cow for general fund purposes, because I think that that revenue needs to go to those programs that are going to help alleviate any concerns anyone has about the legalization of cannabis.
It's a good way of looking at it. So let's see what happens there. But the discussions continue. Rich Schaefer with us. Let's get into some of the political stuff. You know, listen, no surprise, Lee Zeldin looked into it, did some research. He will throw his hat into the gubernatorial ring, and that opens up a lot as far as what could be in the first congressional. We'll get into that. Third legislative, there's a little bit of a concern, maybe from a legal standpoint, regarding Kate Browning, who was a legislator way back, term limited. There's some questions there maybe you could tell us about regarding the GOP side of things. And there's some other things as well in and around as far as some big races that'll be happening. I'm going to be looking in particular over in the DA race where you have Tim Sweeney, who's been there, obviously, big name commissioner at one point, now DA, doing a pretty good job. And also you got a guy by the name of Ray Tinney who's making a name for himself. He's been in the courtroom with thousands of cases. I heard him a couple of times over the last week. We'll get your thoughts, Rich. But first, tell to me about Congressional 1. That sure is very inviting for some. I'll tell you, that's going to be a big race. It's just a matter of who occupies as far as nominees here.
Sure. So on our side, on the Democratic side, I think Bridget Fleming would make the strongest candidate. In fact, I made a personal donation to her congressional campaign, although she's, as she told me, she's running for re-election as a county legislator, and she's flattered by the attention that's being paid since Congressman Zeldin's announcement last week that he's going to run for governor. But I think Bridget Fleming, based on her track record as a town councilwoman in Southampton, all the accomplishments she had there, as well as really one of the stars and leaders on the Suffolk County legislature, I think she's the type of candidate, one who can attract those independent voters that are needed in the district, like a Tim Bishop did when he was a congressman. And two, I think that she'd be an outstanding congressperson, congresswoman. And so I think Bridget would be our strongest candidate. We have other candidates, obviously, who have run in the past who might take a look at it. But I think that our committees, our committee people in the various towns have said to me that they want to make sure that we don't go through the primaries that we've gone through in the past. It's a waste of resources at this point, and that we need to come behind one strong candidate. And so, like I said, I made a personal donation to Bridget last week to get her rolling, and I'm hoping that she'll take the plunge and be our candidate for next year, 2022.
There you go. You heard it here first, folks. Now, what about the legalese of it all? Is Kate Browning a legitimate candidate, knowing that she was term limited, took a break, and all of a sudden, hat back in the ring, third legislative? Of course, Rudy Sunderman decided to go another path here. What about the aspect of Browning here, Rich? Is it viable? Yeah. Where are we at here?
Yeah, very viable. In fact, if you read the law, it's very clear. It's one sentence, and it says you can't serve more than 12 consecutive years. And so when they wrote the term limit laws back in the early 90s, this was 92, 93, that law was written, and there's going to be some legal filings this week which are going to show that even the counsel to the legislature who wrote the law contemplated that there would not be a lifetime ban on someone being able to serve, but that it was designed to give someone a break and then allow them to come back at some point. And that's what Kate's doing. The Republicans are just annoyed because, quite frankly, they know Kate did a tremendous job. They all talk about it amongst themselves. In fact, many of them say to me they're looking forward to Kate coming back because she knew how to work the district. She knew how to respond to the individual constituent issues as well as the global issues in the district. And she has told me she wants to come back to finish that sewer project, which is going to open up a whole gateway of development and progress for the Tri-Hamlet area down there. And I think that she'll work very well with Ed Romaine and his team in the town of Brookhaven, like she's done in the past, in order to get things done for her residents. So the legal filings are what they are, but I think the Republicans know in their heart that the way the law was written was to allow something like this. And you see it all over. You see it in New York City. The way their law was written is similar to us. And they just have a new councilman coming back, Jim Gennaro, in Queens, over in the Whitestone area of Queens, where he just ran again after taking a break and coming back. So term limits serves its purpose by giving someone else a shot to do it. And in this case, Rudy was there. He's now decided to leave. And Kate still has some work to finish that she started back during her first tour of duty.
Keep an eye on that. Very interesting there. The key word, consecutive. The big race that I'll keep an eye on here through November, Rich, obviously is DA. You know, it's always highly contested. It was last time regarding, you know, Sini and Ray Perini. Listen, never a dull moment in these DA races, we know, over the years. Sini, and then you got a guy who's, you know, he's got a pretty good history in the courtroom and everything else. I heard him a couple of times over the last week or so. He'll be a guest tonight on one of the shows. We'll get into that at the end. But in essence, Ray Tierney's the guy. That's going to be an interesting one. It's always a highly contested deal when it comes to district attorney. Go ahead.
No, and it's an extremely important race because the district attorney's office or the district attorney is the most powerful elected official in the county. So the county executive, no offense to Steve Ballone, thinks he's the most powerful person in the or elected official in the county, but it's a district attorney because the district attorney has the ability to actually change lives, to actually affect our quality of life in a very positive way. And that's what Tim Sini and his team have been doing over the past 3.5, almost 4 years now. If you just take a look at the number of cases that have been brought, the number of unique and creative cases that have been brought and have gotten a positive result. I talk about my work with young men and women trying to get them sober and stay on a sober path. Well, Tim Sini's office brought a case on and got a manslaughter conviction against a drug dealer who was feeding our young people drugs that were laced with fentanyl. And that's a very aggressive, creative case to bring, but it was Tim Sini who brought it and got it done. And now it's going to send a strong message to those who want to peddle their crap on our young people that you're going to face consequences and not just a slap on the wrist, you know, maybe a sale of drugs, but you're going to face manslaughter because that's what it is. You're killing people by pushing this crap on them. So, and he's also been very aggressive in environmental crimes. Public corruption. There's a whole host of things that when Tim rolls all of this out during the campaign season, I think residents are going to just say, yes, absolutely. We know of his work as the former police commissioner, and we now know of his work as district attorney, and we like what we see because it's helping our communities maintain their quality of life. in terms of Ray Tierney, I know Ray Tierney as a former U.S. U.S. attorney, prosecutor, and it's clear he has the experience, and he was also, if I understand it, a former Suffolk DA, assistant district attorney at one point. But I think in this case, everyone's going to agree that Tim's record in a very short period of time has been nothing but stellar, and we're excited about having him and Errol Toulon as our sheriff leading the ticket into November. In fact, I'm up for re-election this year, so I'll be proud to be running with both of them at the top of our ticket in Babylon.
Who bears going against Schaefer? I want to know. Rich Stable with us. We're talking about, listen, Rich has been a staple for you.
He always, I run 10 points down and very...
I hear you. That's the way to do it. That's the way to think about it. All right, talk to me about the COVID stuff. You got the vaccine and everything else. You got supply demand is even down, although J&J is down 85%. But you still got Moderna, Pfizer, pop-ups and everything else. What has been the mindset as far as the town is concerned? Are you satisfied where we're at right now, present time? It's all about the inoculations and everything else and trying to get back to normal. You still have a couple of things off as far as things back in play here regarding restaurants and whatnot, curfews. Give me the Schaefer mindset right now. Go ahead.
So, the mindset is I see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train coming at us. And I think everybody would agree that as the warmer weather comes in, people are starting to feel better about the fact that a number of people are getting vaccinated. We're already looking at reopening our senior citizen centers because a number of them have gotten vaccinated. Our town workforce has been getting vaccinated. And, of course, we're continuing to educate people about the importance of getting vaccinated. I can tell you we're planning a full summer of activities, including all of our facilities being open and available to our residents, which I think is going to be just a great mindset as opposed to everything being shuttered. In terms of pools and spray parks last year, we had our beaches open, obviously, but we'll have all that. We'll have concerts back in order. So I think that's going to give everybody a really big push. The great news is that the federal government passed that America First Act, and the town is slated to get millions of dollars that will allow us to make up for our losses as well as expenses that we spent. And that will go for our three villages as well. But I was with Mayor Mike Laverata yesterday, who's a great partner in local government with us. And we're talking about using some of that money for both grant programs for small businesses, restaurants, facilities that really took it on the chin, that would help supplement the shuttered venue grant program that Senator Schumer and others got done, as well as grant programs for not-for-profits. You know, a lot of our groups that provide scholarships and public assistance to residents like the Lions Clubs and the Kiwanis and the Chambers of Commerce all really took a big hit because they couldn't do their normal fundraising. So we're going to create two programs that we're working on now that'll make some of this federal money available that isn't being used to offset losses that the town suffered, to get direct grant monies out onto the street so that people will be able to use that. And I've shared that with my fellow supervisors. They like the idea, and I'm hoping that they'll take that up as well in their respective towns so that we can see a great influx of cash that's coming from the federal government and get it out onto the street, which is where it belongs, so that we can help these small businesses that are just barely hanging on. Some of them we've lost, but hopefully we can get them back, and that's going to be the pivot off of this, getting the vaccine out, getting people educated on the importance of the vaccine, and now pivoting late 21 into 22 and 23 for the economic recovery.
No question. And that's why, Rich, I've been advocating, get these venues open. You know, talking about the Ducks Ballpark, Memorial Day weekend, Always a lot of fun. Concert season, Farmingville, Bald Hill, at the amphitheater. Yeah, let's get them in there. Let's just, come on. I mean, it's almost as if we could complete. I mean, are we right in doing this? You know, let's get it done. These businesses have to stay open. Go ahead.
You're exactly right, because I've said you can't be a complete control freak on this. And that, I think, goes against just basic thought process. Once you start really trying to granular down and control all of everyone's movements, you end up not getting the result that you want, need, and expect. And so in this case, I'm with you that I've told our people just prepare for a full opening. We're going to get our residents back into a great positive mindset. And also, we're going to get money flowing, people spending, and businesses back in order and paying people and getting commerce moving. It's critical and vital at this point. So I'm with you on that.
It seems like it's time, and enough is enough. Hey, you know what? That's what we call catch-up as far as a Monday morning is concerned. Covered a lot of areas, my friend. We'll keep an eye on things, and we look forward to having you back, and let's hope there's no more gap. Let's get you back
Absolutely.
Soon. How's that?
You let me know. Have a great day.